the day for salvation, mercy of God, his faithfulness to us. Our desire is to be faithful. I remember someone put in a testimony one time and said, I want to be as faithful to the Lord as he is to me. And we can strive for that, can't we? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with us seeking the Lord for, Lord, I want to be faithful to us. We often say this, and I don't think that we can say it too much, that we're closer to our eternal reward than we ever have been. And each day, each moment, each tick of the clock gets us closer there. And so we really should be living a better life today than we were this time last week. And by the grace of God, endeavoring to the level of understanding that the Lord gives us, that we live right there. Not because we're going to spend eternity somewhere, every one of us. Whether we want to or not, we will spend eternity somewhere. And the best place to do it is with the Lord. And the only way to do that is to first spend time with him on this side of eternity. And, we can ask the Lord for help in any kind of trials, any kind of tests that we go through. The Lord's going to be there to help us. He promised that. He said he wouldn't leave us or forsake us. We want to turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Also, the same passage is found in Matthew, the 6th chapter and 13th verse. We want to deal a little bit today with lead us not into temptation. Last Sunday, we dealt a little bit with forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And we want to read, starting at Luke, the 11th chapter and the first verse. I want to read this passage of Scripture for a particular reason here. If you have it, you might start reading it for us, please.
And it came to pass
that as he was praying in a certain place,
when he ceased,
one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So they were looking. There were some examples. Number one, they saw the one, Jesus Christ himself praying. And they saw that his prayers were effective. And so they said, John had taught his disciples how to pray, and we want you, Lord, to teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them,
When you pray, say,
Our Father which art in heaven,
hallowed
be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done, as in heaven,
so in earth.
Give us day by day our daily bread.
Forgive
us our sins,
for
we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
He said unto them,
that's good enough. All right, now let's read also in this, along with this, Matthew, the 6th chapter, and I want to start at the 13th verse to go along with this. It's really the same passage of Scripture from another perspective. Let's start fifth verse. Yes.
When thou prayest, thou shalt not
be as the hypocrites are,
for they love
to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets,
that they
may see, be seen of men.
Verily
I say unto you, they have their reward.
But when thou prayest,
enter into thy closet,
and
when thou hast shut thy door,
pray
to thy Father which is in secret,
and
thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy
kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the first thing that I want to present, and the reason I wanted to read out of Luke, was that the disciples specifically asked him, Lord, I want you to teach us how to pray. And we need to be taught how to pray. And so he gives them basically a guideline as to when you pray, this is what I want you to do. And this is how you do it. It's not that we have a responsibility to say the Lord's Prayer every time that we pray. But there are some basic principles that are laid out here. We've gone through some of them. We dealt with them in other messages and other teachings. Today we want to deal with lead us not into temptation. I believe that that's very important, that we need to pray, Lord, there are all kinds of temptations around us, every one of us, that this world, this generation that we live in, this nation is not a nation that is tilted toward God. It is a nation that is ever tilting away from God, and there are many temptations. One of the temptations that we have as people of God is not to be so diligent about the matters of our soul. There are so many things, so many distractions, so many things that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There are so many directions that we have to go into and things that we have to get done that we are tempted many times not to to be as diligent about the matters of our soul as we need to be. Lord, help us. That is a temptation. And so he says here, one of our prayers need to be that we won't be led into temptation. Not that God is going to lead us into temptation, but there are other things that have the ability to lead us down another path. Because I have not taken maybe the necessary time to be with the Lord, or maybe we all have been here before. I believe that we've all been a little bit careless about the matters of our soul. We slumbered and slept. There were 10 virgins. And five were wise, five were foolish. And what did they all do? They all slumbered and slept. There comes a time in our experience that there may be a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber. We've got to be careful about that. So he says here, Lord, that as we pray, Lord, I don't want to be tempted, and I definitely don't want to be tempted above that which I am able to bear. I want to be prepared, whatever it is that comes my way, I want to be prepared for that. So Lord, give me that kind of mindset, give me that kind of tenacity to make certain that I'm prepared. I don't want to be led into temptation. All right? Evil surrounds us. We live in an evil world. But you know what? We don't have to be affected by it. We can watch. You know the little song that we used to sing as children? Watch your eyes, what they see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Watch your eyes, what they see. And then watch your eyes, ears, lips, hands, and feet. I used to like that song. Watch your eyes, ears, lips, hands, and feet. There is something that every one of us have to guard against, don't we? There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Watch your eyes, ears, lips, hands, and feet. Everything that you do has some kind of an effect on you, and not only on you, but on those that are around you. If you are living a life of salvation, and you are living to the level that God wants you to live, do you know that is having an effect on your neighbors? Do you know that that not only is having an effect on your neighbors, it's having an effect on the community? It's having an effect on this world. If you are praying and you're seeking the Lord and you're asking the Lord, Lord, I want to live like you want me to live, it's affecting somebody more than just you. So we've got to be careful what we allow to come into our mind. We have to be careful to allow of what we allow to come out of our heart, our mouth. All right? Lead us not into temptation. I want to read, let's turn to the 4th chapter of Matthew. This is Jesus. We understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and he was tempted and had to be tempted in all points like as we are. I want us to begin at the 4th chapter, first verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. So Jesus was led up. Now we're saying, lead us not into temptation. Jesus, by the Spirit of God, was to be tested and proven, not for his sake, but for ours. To let us know that this grace that he has is readily available and it works. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter how hard you're going to be tested, the Lord says that the grace of God is sufficient for you and me. Read.
And when the tempter came,
to him,
he said,
If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
But he answered and said,
It is written,
man shall not live
by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Then the devil taketh him up
into the holy city,
and setteth him on a pinnacle
of the temple,
and he saith unto him,
If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him,
It is written again,
Thou shalt not
tempt the Lord thy God.
Again,
the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain,
and showeth
him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Jesus, we understand that Jesus, out of necessity, needed to be tempted. He was tempted, the scripture says, in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So top point of temptation that you and I have been through, everything that we have been tempted with, every avenue that we've been tempted with, do you know Jesus has been tempted with that as well? Do you know that Jesus had to, what does the scripture speak about the, pray for us. The love of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Okay, that's what we're trying to say. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are the titles or the subtitles or whatever you want to call it of what temptations that we go through. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Jesus here in this passage of scripture was tempted in every point just like that. The lust of the flesh. Here, you've been hungry, you've fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Command that these stones be made bread. Do you know one of the things here as we look at what Jesus went through, the temptations that Jesus went through, and we understand that we go through temptations on a day-to-day basis. Every one of us. There is no one here that has not been tempted on some level in their lives. And there is no one here that at some point in your life, from this point until the time that that you meet the Lord, that you're going to be tempted again. But I want to give you the clarity and the understanding that Jesus, he was able to go through all of his temptations. You and I are able to go through ours as well. What we're to do is pray, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. I don't want to go through any temptation that I don't have to go through. I don't want to be led by someone else. I don't want to be led by the enemy of my soul. I don't want to be led by my friends and by my coworkers and by my family, my siblings. I don't want to be led into some temptation. Do you realize that when we get together with people, and oftentimes our greatest temptation comes when we are with our friends and when we're with our coworkers and we're with people that maybe have a different lifestyle than we are, and we feel a little bit out of place, right? Have you ever felt a little bit out of place with those people? And we are tempted to do what they're doing simply because we don't want them to point their fingers at us. So we want to kind of blend in. And so what this does, that leads us into a place that we're tempted to let down what our conviction is. Lord, I am convicted not to do this thing. But because of the pressure, the peer pressure that I'm going through right now, it seems like I'll just do it this once. Then I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. Lord, I don't want to be led into that kind of temptation. I don't want to be in a place where I give in and give up under because I don't want to be different than everybody else. Let me say this, saints, if you're saved, you're different. And when God comes back, let me tell you, when he comes back and he's looking for folks that look like him, that act like him, that walk like him, that talk like him, he's going to be looking for somebody that's different from the world. And so we are not to be ashamed of the things of God. We're not to be ashamed of living the kind of a life that God demands and requires of us to live, because if we're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us when he comes back. That's not my child. They're trying to blend in too much. There is a temptation for us to blend in and be like everybody in the world.
1 John 2:15.
Read. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world.
Neither the things that are in the world.
Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what we're here for, saints. That's why we come to a place like this, to be encouraged, to be inspired, that I can live for the Lord no matter what I'm facing. No matter what it is that the enemy presents to me, no matter what it is that I may be, that the enemy may tempt me to do, I can survive this thing by the help and the grace of God. You can live saved. And you can be happy in doing it. It's not a drudgery. I enjoy my salvation, and I know other folks do as well. We're not here because we feel, for, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. The only thing I can't do is sin. The only thing I can't do is disappoint the Lord and disappoint myself and disappoint my family. But I do. The Lord takes the want to out of your heart. As you desire and you embrace Him and you desire, Lord, I want to be more like You. You know what the Lord does? He begins to pluck those things, those desires. When you want it to go this way, the Lord begins to pluck them out of your heart. He begins to purify your heart in even a greater way. It is a process. And as you go on this process of life, the Lord takes the want to and the desire out. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some things that you're tempted with. Of course you're going to be tempted. But the Lord allows you to be tested in these places so that you can become stronger and that you can stand firmer in the things of God. All right, so first of all, let's say here, Jesus was tempted. The tempter came to Him and He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." You know, the thing for us to do is to not listen to the devil. Now, this is an example. Why is Jesus doing it? Oftentimes, Jesus didn't have to have a conversation with the devil. For His sake. It's for our sake. Because oftentimes the devil doesn't present himself to us as, this is the devil talking to you now. He doesn't say that. You know, the devil is probably the best ventriloquist. He can sound just like you. He can mimic your voice. He knows what your desire. He's watched you all of your life. And the devil can make himself sound like you, that this is your thought that is presenting itself. And you know, you have to, as you grow in the Lord, you come to the place in understanding that that's not me. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And that's not me talking. Get thee behind me, Satan. One of the things that you have to come to a level of understanding is, Lord, I want to know Your voice, and I want to know what's not Your voice. And when we do that, we can ask the Lord, "Lord, is this You speaking?" And the Lord can take us in the direction of His voice. And the more we're with the Lord and the more we spend time with the Lord, the more we are, the greater the inability is of the enemy to trick us. You understand what I'm saying? He can't trick us the more we spend our time with the Lord, all right? So He said, but He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into a holy city and setteth Him on the pinnacle of the temple. And He saith unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now I want to say this. Jesus used the word of God against the devil. That is the most powerful weapon that we have. There are some times that we go through temptations, and it is not necessarily just for us to pray about those things and ask the Lord to help us and to give us the victory that we need to go through, and that's a good thing. Always do that. But there are some times that we ask the Lord, "Lord, I want You to give me the Word of God that will combat that particular thing that I'm dealing with." And as you seek the Lord about this, the Lord will give you, because every solution to every problem is right here in this Bible. In some kind of a way, the solution to every problem that you'll ever face in your life, the Lord has already dealt with it, and it's written in this Bible. Now, Jesus said to Him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." I've got some of the Word of God that I'm going to give to the devil, the Lord is saying. I'm going to give to you, Satan, the Word of God. It's not just going to be me. I don't want to do this, and I'm not going to do this. The Word of God says this. And when we speak to the devil with the Lord's words, that gives us power and authority against what he's trying to do. All right? So he says, and Jesus, when he took him up to this place, one of the things that the devil did here, one of the temptations that we'll have that we need to make note of, is that the devil knows the Word of God as well. And he will use the Word of God against you, and he'll take it out of context. And if you're not careful, you'll be doing something that he's telling him to jump off, because the angels are going to be there. But he is taking something completely out of the context of what God meant for it to be. Saints, this is why it's important for you to know the Word of God. This is why it's important for you to know the Spirit of God. The Spirit and the Word go together. The Word is not going to say one thing and the Spirit say another thing. It is going to be together. And so here what we have is the enemy coming with the temptation, and that part of the temptation is mingled with the Word of God. Do you realize that this is why there's false prophets? This is why there's false doctrine? This is why there are false churches? This is why there are false Christians? This is why there are false everything in the religious world, is because there are individuals that the devil has used to take the Word of God and mingle it in with false doctrine. You with me on that? Do you believe me? All right. And so he says, and if Jesus had been just not really clearly understanding what he was dealing with, well, it does say that. If thou be the Son of God, so I need you to prove this to me. I need you to prove that you're saved. And if you prove that you're saved, you can go into this bar and you can sit down and you can witness to these people, even though you had a problem with drinking before. Or you can put this pack of cigarettes, instead of you throwing them away, you can put them in the refrigerator. And that just helps you to be strong. And you know that you're not going to be able to do it. You can't do that. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. Run as far away from it as your legs will take you. All right? So he said, you know, if you be the Son of God, now if you really are saved, then you'll be able to do this. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do you know what he would have been doing? He would have been obeying the devil. And anytime you obey the devil, you come up under his spirit. And so you can't do that. May the Lord help us. All right? So Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't do those kinds of things and expect the Lord to take care of you. All right? Again, the devil, because what you do, you really take yourself out of the protection of the Lord, and you put yourself really under to some degree the authority of the devil. This is why you need to know his voice as well as the Lord's voice. Lord, help us. And again, the devil taken him up into a exceeding high mountain and showed them all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is what he was wanting in the first place, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You realize that everything that the devil gives you, there's a trade-off. You know, you look at people want to be rich and famous, right? You know there's a trade-off for that. Have you noticed how many people go through multiple divorces that are rich, famous actors and actresses? They saw the glitter. Everybody knows their name. You know what they do after everybody knows their name? They put on sunglasses and wigs and try to hide from everybody, just so that they can be like normal people. There is a trade-off for everything that the devil gives you. There is a trade-off. You got to worship something. You got to worship your body. You got to worship whatever it is that you're worshiping. You got to worship the devil in order to get what he's got to give you. So you see the glitter of these things. I learned that when I was young, and I wanted to be rich and famous, and I had the desire and the drive, and I believe the only reason that I wouldn't have been is because the Lord had mercy on me. All right? But what I learned is I got into college and the things that I was doing, I learned that these areas are not exactly what they are pumped up to be. I wasn't happy. And of course, coming from the background that I came from, I know the Lord dealt with me very extensively. And he told me very clearly that you're not going to be happy if you do those kinds of things. But you know, some of us would desire to ride over that and try them anyway. Lord, I know that's what you're saying, and I hear you saying that, but look at all of this that I would have if I go after this. And do you know some folks are going after those kinds of things, and it's leading them to a place of destruction. So it may not be that you want all the glitz and the glory and all this kind of thing. It may be that you just want something. I just want to be happy. And if I go in this direction that is away from God, I think that I can make myself happy. I can get me the right husband. I can get me the right wife. I can have a dog, a cat, a house, and in this particular neighbor, all of that kind of thing. That comes secondary. Don't be tempted to go after that and then go after Christ second after you get those things. He said, what we are to do, we're actually to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and the Lord will add those things to you. But may the Lord help us that we don't desire in our own mind that I can be tempted that way, and that I'm going after these things, and once I get them, then I'll give my heart to the Lord. You'll be that much further away from him. Because what you're doing, you're following after something that God, that the devil has suggested to you. The devil is suggesting this to you. He said, all this I will give you if you'll do this. And he gives you the basic understanding of what you'll have to do. Point A, B, C, D. You do all of this and you can have this. And it's not like that. You know, the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. He never abode in the truth. So whatever he tells you, let me tell you, it's a lie. And a lot of folks have been disappointed. You know what? I've heard folks say, you know what, Brother Darrell? That's just old folks. That's just the way y'all teach. That's just the way the church teach. Let me tell you, when the Bible teaches it, it's your responsibility to live by it. You're going to have a much happier life. I've seen so many people that go in a different direction than what the Bible is saying. They take matters into their own hands. They live their life the way that they want to live them, and then they destroy their lives. And they knew better to begin with. Lord, help us. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted to be led in that kind of a direction. All right. So the devil wants you to worship him. You just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all of these things. And you know what? After you get them, these folks are trapped. These folks are trapped. I see sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I pray for these rappers and actors, and not just that, but you know what? I believe the devil uses some of these folks. You know, some of these people that are like the boy that shot up all them folks up in Colorado? Man that shot somebody down here near Texas A&M. You know, I believe the devil has offered those people something. And what they don't realize, them folks ain't just insane. Them folks got spirits. They got spirits of the devil. They can plead insanity all they want to, but it is not a normal occurrence for you to walk into a theater and just start shooting people that you don't know. So there is something that we have to understand, that there is a spirit of the enemy that is in this world. And that when you open yourself up to certain things and you find out what some of these folks are involved in and how they go down, when you open yourself up to the devil, you don't know what you're opening yourself up to. When you open yourself up, then the spirit of the enemy can take over, and these people are demon-possessed. Lord, help us. We act like they're not, and then we're just thinking that this boy is just crazy. He's not just crazy. He's got a demon. And a whole lot of folks that are insane, that are doing things that are just unnatural, the reason they're doing things that are unnatural is because it's not humanly possible for you to do those kind of things. There is something that is greater that you're having to deal with down here, down inside. May the Lord help us to understand that we need to be in a position to deliver these folks from the powers of hell. Jesus, when he was walking on the face of this earth, you know what he did? He delivered people from demons, didn't he? Now, do you suppose that folks, now that we are in this new technological age, people don't have demons anymore? They've got them in much more greater force than they had them, I believe, when Jesus was here. And so what happens is you see these crazy things that people is doing. This is why my mother used to say, you're only safe in the arms of Jesus. So you want to be safe. You don't have to worry about somebody shooting you. You take Jesus with you. He's your armor. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, let Jesus surround you. He said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear him, and he delivers them. And you know, when you're saved and you're living for the Lord will take care of you. We don't have to live in fear. Why? Because we have a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to protect us. Isn't that wonderful? So we pray for those folks. You know, I've mentioned this before, but some of these people have done rituals and they're literally Satanists. And this is why you got to be careful about that music. I was listening, I was on, when we were in Paris, we were riding to the airport with a young man that we had, didn't know, and he had rap music on. And I don't know if he didn't speak English very well, but I was wondering, that really is not music that you'd have your parents listen to. If you're going to listen to that, you want to listen to that by yourself. And so it was in English. And so for, what, 30, 45 minutes, I got a good feel of what rap music is like. And you know, it's one of the worst things. A lot of music is bad, but it's one of the worst things. I thought, my goodness. Now, I don't listen to the stuff, but I got a good earful that time. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because he doesn't speak English as well as we do that he really doesn't know what that's saying. But you know, let me tell you what I've sensed. Some of these folks, and I'm not going to call any names necessarily. I might call some names. These people have given themselves to the devil. And they are worshiping something. He said, I'll give you all this if you'll do what? You fall down and you worship me. And then what we have, you're letting your little innocent daughter listen to that? You're letting your innocent son listen to that? They won't be innocent for very long. It's impossible. Because this is where it's talking about, lead me not into temptation. Those people on those things are telling your children what to do. And you thinking it's okay for them to, let me tell you, I thought it is almost impossible for somebody that listened to rap music or that kind of music that that boy was listening to and understand it and not and keep themselves innocent. It's almost impossible. No, it is impossible. Because it's a gateway that you can be led into temptation. And I'm not just talking about that kind of music, but there's a situation of the punk rock and a whole bunch of other things. And this slow music that sounds real good is like a little jazz. You got to turn the lights down and all that. You got to be careful about that stuff. Lead me not into temptation. I don't want to be led into something that I wish I had not done simply because I wasn't careful about what I was listening to. You know what the scripture says? The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Why? Because they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So what is going to happen is that there is going to be a seducing spirit. And what is a seducing spirit? It finds your weakness. Seduction is simply a weakness. They seduce where there is a weakness. They find exactly what it is that can draw you away, and they can lead you away from God, away from your steadfastness, or away from your innocence, or away from your honesty. They can lead you in that direction if you listen to it. And I mean, not only that, but it says seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Some folks have embraced the doctrine of the Bible, which is the doctrine that I am convicted that we teach. But when you begin to listen to a devil that is speaking to you, he is able to take the word of God and wrest it and twist it in some kind of a way, and now the things that you once believed, you don't see it that way anymore. Doctrines of devils. Now, the best way that the devil can get you, lead you astray, is just, let me tell you, he don't just throw the door open wide and say to you that, oh, hello, I'm the devil, I want to introduce myself. He didn't come with a name tag. It's not written over his forehead, but what he's going to do, he's going to knock on the door, and out of curiosity, you open it. I'm gonna connect these. These may not be really things that you connect. We have a bird. I don't know why this little cardinal does this almost every, well, he was doing it for a while. Every morning he just comes in on our back patio and he just hits the window. He just flies, hits the window, and then he'll fly down and he'll hit the window again. And you know, the thought comes to my mind, I want to just open the door and see what he's going to do. Because he's done it for hours. He'll do it for an hour. And then he'll go away, and then he'll come back, and he'll do it again. And he's done this for several weeks. He's not doing it as much now, but the thought came to my mind. It was early morning, and I like, that's my time of that I spend with the Lord, and I like setting and looking outside and whatnot. And he just comes and just hits this and then flies over and hits it on this side and just flies and hits. He does this, and I watched him do it for an hour, or I heard him do it. I didn't just sit and watch him. But the thought comes to me, just, I wonder, what does he want? You just want to open the door and just let him in and see what, and just watch him, see what he's going to do. You know what? The thought comes to me right behind that is that's what the devil does. He just comes and he just knocks on the door. And before you know it, you just open the door. What do you want? And all he does is sticks his foot in the door. Oh, nothing. But he doesn't move that foot. And before you know it, he's asking you questions. He's talking to you. He's conversing with you. And before you know it, he's got his hand on the knob and he's pushing it a little wide open. You give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Amen. Scripture says very plainly, neither give place to the devil. And the temptation that you have, don't even listen to him. Because what the devil is going to do, he's going to start slow, and before you know it, you're going to be way off course. I can tell you, people that I told several years ago, that you can do it too. Maybe somebody, a friend of yours, or somebody said, if you go down this road, this is where you're going to be. And you know what? Years later, that's exactly where they are. Lord, help us. And why? Because they opened themselves up to the temptation, and they was led in the wrong direction, and they never allowed the enemy, they allowed the enemy to take them in the wrong direction, and they never allowed the Lord to correct that. Lord, help us that we don't do that. Amen. All right. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Have it read it, please.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 12.
Yes.
Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth,
take heed lest he fall.
There
is no temptation taking you. But such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Do you know there are some that once you've been saved for a little while, you just think, you know what, there's no possibility of me backsliding, of me being tempted in some to some degree. And I go in another direction. Do you know what? There's no one here that is beyond it if they're not careful. Every single one of us have to be careful. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your position is. I don't care how great everything is. There is a carefulness that you have to live every single day of your life. He said, he that thinketh he standeth, you take heed lest you fall. When you become arrogant about where you stand with the Lord, or arrogant about that ain't going to tempt me, that's when you're getting ready to fall. Lord, help us. And any one of us can do that. I don't want to say that I'm above it, because I'm not either. But let me tell you, what makes us above it is the fact that we embrace the Lord and we obey him and we do what the Lord tells us to do. And we're careful about the matters of our soul. And if we do that every day, there's no way. There is no way that we can fall. But it's not a something of arrogance. All right? But there's no temptation that's taking you, but such as is common to man. So whatever temptation that you're going through, do you realize that there are some folks that are going through it too? And not only are they going through it, that they have already accomplished it. They've already gone through it, and they've already gotten the victory over that thing, and they have a personality just like you. And you cannot say that, well, you don't understand, Brother Darrell. Brother Henry was saying something about his daughter. He's saying, well, but Dad, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, listen, y'all, we were 13 too. One of the prerequisites of being a parent is to first be a child. We know what you're going through. And let me tell you, even after we get a little bit older and our children get a little bit older, they still don't think we understand because they're in their 20s. I was in my 20s too. I understand. I know what you're going through. The Lord understands. He knows what you're going through. He was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. Let me tell you, no temptation, nothing that you will face will be more than you can go through it. The Lord's not going to let a trial come your way that's too big for you. And let me tell you, yours is not so unique that you're the only one that have had to deal with this. It's common. What does common mean? You know what? Let me tell you one thing that we don't do. One of the things that is not a good thing is to get up and testify about, oh, how the devil just whipped you up last night. You can say, you know what? I had a battle, and the devil got in a few licks, but I came out the victor. You always come out winning. When you have the Lord, no matter what temptation that you're going through, you're always going to come out on top. But we don't have to testify for the devil, do we?
Right. Amen.
Now, it says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common. It's not unique. You'd be surprised at how many people standing right here or have gone through or are going through or will go through the very same thing that you're going through right now. It's common. And you'd be surprised at what the preachers and the teachers and all of those, you'd be surprised at what temptations and trials and testings they have gone through. No, we're not going to disclose everything to you, but let me tell you, one thing that gives us the ability to counsel you and give you some of the advice that the Bible lays out is because we know what we're talking about firsthand. It's not hearsay. It's not just something that sounds good. It's something, and we don't have to tell you that we know it firsthand. We've gone through the principle of it. We understand the principle. Maybe I'm a man and you don't understand what women go through. No, men don't. But there's a principle that is neutral. And it works for men and women. So there are some intricate things that, no, maybe as a man I wouldn't know what a woman is going through, or maybe, but I have a woman. So I watch what they go through, and I vicariously, I've been there, and I know what you're dealing with, and I know what men are dealing with while they're dealing with you. It's true. So I learned some things by, not by firsthand, but by, because I've seen the example, I've had the experience. Lord, help us, and I can give you some advice by the help and the grace of God. Lord, help us. You with me on that? All right. So your problems are common. Don't think, well, Brother Darrell don't understand, or they don't understand, or these people don't. No, we understand. Common to man, but God is faithful. Even when men aren't, God is faithful. And so even when you're going through something, oh, brother, you just don't know what. No, I may not know exactly what you're going through, but God knows. And he's faithful. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. This is just too much for me, Brother Darrell. And why is God allowing this to happen to me? I can't answer all of those questions. I don't know why God is allowing it, but don't be tempted to question God. Don't be led into that temptation. Well, Lord, you're not being fair to me because they don't have to go through it. She don't have to go through it. He don't have to go through it. Well, that's none of your business. What did he say to, was it Peter? He said, if I will that he tarry, he said, Lord, what shall this man do? He said, that ain't none of your business, Peter. He said, if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. So my trials and the tests that I'm going through, first of all, a lot of folks are going through them, and a lot of folks have gone through them, and they've been victorious. You know, one of the things that I say to people is, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked if we had to stand up, and we're not going to do this. It's not edifying to do it. But if we stood up and everybody told you everything that they've ever been involved in and everything that they've ever dealt with and everything, every thought, we'd be shocked. We couldn't handle it. Now, why am I saying that? Because I guarantee you that the person that seems so pious and so perfect and the Lord has helped them in such a great way, they have been through some of the same things, struggles that you're going through right now or that you have gone through. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that wonderful? And if they can reach that plateau or that place that the Lord, in the Lord that they've reached, then there's hope for me. Isn't that wonderful? All right, I'm almost done. Okay. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How many times have you yielded to a temptation and then you go back in your mind and you thought, you know what, all I had to do was this. I didn't even have to be there. I shouldn't have. There was a door. There was something. There was a way out for me. And it may not have been easy. It may have been a little painful, but there was always a way out. Always. So the Lord will never put you in a place that you go down a blind alley and there is no door that you can escape out of. And all I have to do, the only thing I can do is yield to this temptation. It'll never happen. They got to the Red Sea, and what did the Lord do there? They were bound up. They got to the Red Sea, and what did the Lord do? He made a way. He made a way out of no way. There was no way, but God made a way. And let me tell you, when you're going through the trials and the tests of life and the temptations of life, God is the way. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way out of every situation that we need. He's there for us. Isn't that wonderful? All right. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth him, that goes through his temptation.
When he's tried,
so you know the temptation. Lord doesn't just help let us have temptations just to have them to play with us. It's for a reason. It's, you know, sometimes the reason is that the Lord wants to use you in a capacity in the body, and he has to prove you before he does that. The Lord is not going to put an unqualified person in a position. The Lord's not going to do it. Man might do it. But the Lord won't put an unqualified person in a position for them to tear something up. He said, we'll just leave that vacant until there's somebody that's qualified to do it. All right? So we have to understand that some of the things that we're going through are for our qualification. All right? Read. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now what that means is that God is not a God that's going to tempt you with evil. He's going to allow you to be tested and tried in some very, sometimes very difficult ways. He's going to allow the enemy to come to you and test you. But he's not going to lead you astray. And as long as you follow him, and as long as you put your hand in his hand, he's going to take you through the trial. He's going to take you through the temptation with victory in your soul. All right? So it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. When you go through this, what the Lord is doing, he's making more sure your crown. I want to read the Amplified Version. Blessed, happy to be happy, to be envied, is the man who is patient under trial and stands under temptation, for when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those that love him. Isn't that wonderful? Saints, some of the temptation, some of the trial that you're going through, the Lord is allowing you to go through it because he's testing you. He's allowing you to be tested. He's wanting you for a greater work for him. He's wanting to solidify in your mind that you can go through any trial, no matter what comes your way. You can go through it by the help and the grace of God. I want to read one more scripture. Revelations 3 and 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What I want to bring out in this, it says, behold, I come quickly, hold fast which thou hast, that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. I want to bring out the point is that the Lord can keep us in the midst of temptation. No matter what comes on the world, no matter the difficulties in the age that we live in and some of the things, well, if this happens, that happens, what can we do? What will we do? We can stand firm and true to the Lord. But you know what? He's preparing us now. And he says, hold that fast which you have. Don't be led astray. Don't allow the enemy to come or the enemy through people to lead you in a different direction that the Lord, other than what the Lord has shown you. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. One more scripture.
Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace we are in.
We glory in tribulations also.
Tribulation
worketh patience.
Patience
experience.
And
experience hope. We have hope in the midst of our tribulations, don't we? That the Lord's going to see us through. He's going to take us through. Pray for me.